I am really enjoying Radio Entrepreneurs today, meeting a lot of great guests. And I want to thank Alex Cooper, who's off the IR list, back in the game. He is the Rob Gronkowski of Radio Entrepreneurs. He's coming out with some big hits today. Nobody can take Alex down. We tried with the flu. So thank you, Alex, for all these great interviews. And our next guest, watch this one, everybody. So Jose Augusto Barriga from Cambridge Food Lab, correct? Correcto.
Yes.
You know, that was actually kind of fun to try to say.
Yeah, that was actually the right pronunciation, Jose Augusto Barriga.
I liked it a lot. Uh-huh. I could say it, Jose Augusto Barriga. Jeez, you know. It's almost worth falling in love with you.
Uh-huh.
Just to say the name over and over
it's
again.
It's kind of romantic by itself, right?
It's a very romantic name. It's true. It makes me feel like I'm a man of passion.
You need the sword.
That's yes, you're right. I was thinking about Zorro, you know? I used to watch Zorro a lot when I was a kid. I was a big fan of him. But I probably turned out to be that fat corporal on Zorro, not Zorro himself. Tell us about Cambridge Food Lab, because I was reading about it. Very interesting.
Yes. So the Cambridge Food Lab... First off, I'm a social entrepreneur.
Social entrepreneur,
yes.
I got it.
So the Cambridge Food Lab is a project, and what we do is we help people in the restaurant industry, entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs, to get into the next step. Let's say that someone owns a food truck and they want to open a restaurant. What we do is we help them with everything that's not related to food production or cooking.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, business skills. So particularly we work with, once again, minority entrepreneurs. The restaurant industry has a really, really high ratio or level of failure. About 65% of restaurants that open in the United States close in within the next 2 years. And the reason is not because...
Largest employer in the state, but also the largest turnover.
Exactly. The turnover is huge.
See?
It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's kind
and
of
there's no loyalty
too.
Either.
There's no loyalty.
Right.
It's an industry...
Either way. Management to employee always and employee to management.
And that's the truth.
Right.
Sadly, that's the truth. And you have to be honest. I mean, the standards are very low. So that's one of the things that we are aiming at. We're trying to do. So what we do is we help food entrepreneurs with regulatory compliance, financial literacy, operations, and branding and marketing. Everything that's not intuitive to a restaurant owner, a cook, or a chef, which is basically the reason why these restaurants usually fail, because you have fantastic cooks that open restaurants that at the end are
not... They know nothing about business.
Nothing.
They don't even know about buying food. They think they buy food because they know food, but they don't understand the purchase games of food.
Yeah, it's just a restaurant.
So they get manipulated by the broadliners.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I do know something about food.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, your family's been in the business for a while.
Yeah,
right?
But I understand also how broadliners can change the pricing models as they go and things can happen. Mm-hmm. I also understand how chefs can, there's a lot of theft in the restaurant industry and how that can be built into the system. And owners just can't, and chefs who open up restaurants, they don't understand how to track that.
And sometimes, I mean, you just have to add it as a cost, unfortunately. I mean,
well, what I would say is that most people who open restaurants, like you're talking about, they're artists. And running a restaurant is a science. And art.
It's
the
business.
Combination of the science and art of the science of business with
business.
The art of cooking.
Yeah. Right. As a restaurant owner, your objective is to, of course, create fantastic food, develop a great experience, but it's also to make money. And that should be the most important criteria.
Well, my wife's own restaurants, plural. And I always said to her, you know what your problem was when you were in the restaurant business? You were an artist who never wanted to compromise.
Right.
I said, you never treated it like a business. It was more important that you be an artist than a business person.
Right. And that's, in most cases, a mistake. I mean, some people are very successful, but if they don't look...
The big restaurants aren't always having good foods.
Right.
They're run as businesses.
And they make a lot of money.
And they make a lot of money because they're business first, restaurant second. Mm-hmm. They're a cash pass-through.
So, and also something that's kind of interesting about our organization, the Cambridge Food Lab, is, once again, it's a project. And what we do, besides helping, it's our intention is to work with local, meaning Massachusetts, food entrepreneurs. It serves the state of Massachusetts, where we're located. And what we have to develop revenue for the nonprofit organization is a restaurant. We did a feasibility study in the Cambridge and Somerville market, and we basically come up, after a focus group of 600 subjects, we come up with one restaurant model, which is the most successful type of restaurant in a market such as Cambridge or Somerville, which are markets full of millennials, college students, and professionals. So what we have is something similar to Chipotle's or Ana's Taqueria that will develop revenue for the nonprofit operation. A venture like that develop somewhere between $250,000 to $300,000 in profits, very, very conservatively for the nonprofit operation.
So, Jose, how did you get into this business? What's your background?
Well, my background is kind of diverse. I'm a former network producer. I work in television in Los Angeles for over 12 years. I work for Fox Sports, non-news, Latin America, and also Telemundo. And after 12 years of a career, I basically got tired of the industry and become a community organizer.
It is a tiring industry.
It's extremely stressful because you have daily deadlines.
Right, and they burn people out.
Yeah. You make a lot of money, but...
But how do you go from Telemundo to food?
Well, there are over 20 years in between.
Right.
The food lab. After Telemundo,
evolution.
I become a community organizer. I work for Acorn in Los Angeles.
Right.
So I've always been on the left of the political spectrum.
I won't hold that against you.
And I wasn't happy with what I was doing, producing for the network. So as a reaction, basically, I become a community organizer when I quit my job. And that brought me to Boston. I came over to the Chelsea area to organize the Chelsea community. I worked for 3 months there, and then I discovered Cambridge, and I say I'm not coming back to Los Angeles. I'm staying in Boston, in the Boston area.
Really?
So that's how I stayed. And then what I did, the first thing that I did.
Usually, it's the other way around.
It's because of weather.
I have a friend moving to California right now, and he called me last night. And I said, "Do you like it?" He goes, "The weather."
It's the weather, but you get bored. Because every day is nice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what I'm going to say is not going to be very well taken, but many people have been living here for a long time. But here, you have the magic of having four different seasons.
Boring here.
It's not boring here.
Every day you look up and you go, what's the weather today?
Yes, exactly. You never know, right?
Every day is different.
Right.
It's like, it's like a good relationship. You don't want it to be boring.
Exactly, right.
And if you ate, steak every day, you would finally find it boring.
That's a really, really good metaphor to that. So just continuing to what I was saying. So I come over, I work as a community organizer for a couple of months, and then I decided to open the Boston Latino International Film Festival, which becomes a kind of big success. It's based at Harvard University. From the first year, from the first edition up to today, I'm not running the festival anymore. It's been supported and hosted by Harvard and the city of Cambridge. And then 2 years ago, I hired someone to run the festival so I can do the Cambridge Food Lab.
And are you alone at the Cambridge Food Lab, or do you have partners?
I have a couple of people working with me, yeah. But I'm the principal.
And what do you consider to be your core expertise, that if I had a food business, what you're really good at?
Operations and communications. I mean, I major in communications in UCLA. I work in TV. I had a practice, communications practice here in Massachusetts, working with nonprofits and healthcare providers, helping them to access what's called the Latino or the Hispanic market. So that's my take. And also, I'm an organizer.
Is most of your, most of your clients, I'm going to go to sleep. It sounds like a lullaby. Most of your clients Latino and Hispanic? Or the ethnic community of Boston?
So you're talking about the Cambridge Food Lab?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, no.
Okay, restaurants, mostly.
It's minority, and I'm including women.
Not as many manufacturers, but mostly restaurants?
Mostly restaurants, yes.
Interesting.
Mostly restaurants. And when it comes to vice versa communications,
yeah.
My clients were healthcare providers, hospitals mostly, and nonprofit organizations.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to find you, Jose, at the Cambridge Food Lab, how would they... track you down?
Our website, my contact info is there, mm-hmm. cambridgefoodlab.com. Mm-hmm. And my email is jvariga@cambridgefoodlab.com. I'm open to work in different projects.
You come back with a client and tell us a story?
That actually could be a really, really interesting next show.
We're going to do that. Thank you for coming today.
Definitely. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs.